Good evening. Just want to say thank you for everyone. Today has been a wonderful blessing day to serve the Lord. I am so proud of our young men here. Definitely grown and continue to grow and teach me every day. And it brings forth my sermon for tonight of being a godly parent. What does it mean to be a godly parent? And of course, I've been receiving tons of advice, tips, jokes even, the do's and don'ts. For example, I had someone tell me to not spank your kid. Instead, take their things away as a punishment of sorts. Of course, there's mixed feelings about that, but every parent has their own style. Every family is different. And, you know, with two girls on the way, I want all the advice I possibly can get. So I'm more than welcome to hear it all. But the one advice that I do have to stand firm on, that I have to learn from, and have to be guided by, is the God of the Lord, our Father. And it's not only me that should take this in, so I hope you guys benefit from this as much as I have. The 4 points I want to focus on is the child and parent relationship. I also want to focus on the discipline that we see from our Lord, the guidance that he gives us, and lastly, the responsibilities of a parent. So the parent relationship, the parent and child relationship is always different in every family, like I mentioned. And when I was researching this, I came across this website that had four different parent styles. I thought it was very interesting. They have the authoritarian, the authoritative, permissive, and the uninvolved. Of course, the uninvolved parent is something that we don't want. Children don't even want this. But I'll explain each of them. That we have the authoritarian parent is a very strict and controlling. They have a strong sense of justice and the need for obedience. There are big believers in clear stated rules. So if the kids don't behave as ordered, they are therefore punished. Now the authoritarian parent. The authoritarian parent have the authority and control. These parents are warmer and more communicative than the authoritarian parent. Authoritative parents seek a balance between teens' desires for independence and the parents' desire to be listened to. These parents are demanding, demanding and responsive. They're assertive, but are not invasive, are restrictive. They regulate as well as cooperative. The permissive parent is often warm and accepting, make fewer demands on their children. They're lenient, avoid confrontation, and allow considerable self-regulation. They're much more responsive than they are demanding. Now lastly, the uninvolved parent demands almost nothing of their children, respects nothing, and in return does not give anything. Sometimes this borderlines into the verge of neglect. So this style, of course, is out of question. But let's see what God says about this a little bit more. When we look at Psalms 127, verse 3, it says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward." God sees children as a blessing, as a reward for this life. Also in Matthew 18, verses 1 through 5, I'm sorry, I'm going to throw a lot of verses at you guys. There's a lot on this. He called little children to him and placed the children among them. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is greater in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. John 16, verse 21. A woman gives birth to a child, has pain because of her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that that child is born into the world. God sees children as blessings. We are become like them in their innocence. With a raise of hands, how many women here agree with John 16:21? When you go through all that pain of anguish, all the sufferings, the cravings, the sore feet, all that pain, how many agree when once you hold your child in your arms, all that anguish goes away? Can I get a raise of hands? How many? Awesome. I wanted the children and the other men to see that how blessing children are, and that all of this has a purpose and a reason. It is truly a wonderful time and a blessing time, and I know my day is coming. But when we look at how parents should be in Titus 2, verse 7, it says, show yourselves in all respects, be a model of good works, and your test teachings show integrity and dignity. So the parent and child relationship works both ways. The parent has to help guide, be the model to grow, help grow that child in their faith and in life. But the children are to also respect and follow their parents without disobedience. And of course, with that uninvolved parent, this can never happen. So when we look at the parents are to be models of good works, teaching integrity and dignity, I wanted to point out in that list, being the model is the first thing to come. And that is the first thing every parent should do. It's not what the parent says, it's what the parent does. And that's what makes the child follow that parent. As we heard from Stephen this morning, you know, we can't just say something and not do it. We have to be doers. And it applies here as parenting. As parents, we have to do and live by what we say so our children will follow in that footstep. Now, I also want to make note, that's not, again, it's not just the parents, it's the children, the teens, young adults. When we look at Psalms chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, it says, hear, my son, your father's instructions, for forsake not your mother's teachings, for they are grateful garlands of your head and pardons for your neck. And in Exodus 20, verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. You are to follow your father's instructions and not abandon your mother's teachings, for they only want the best for you. We also see in Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Proverbs 10, 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Proverbs 23, 22, listen to your father who gives you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Lastly, Colossians 3, verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing to the Lord. Parenting goes both ways. Parents, be that model. Respect, adore, love. And children, love, respect, and listen. All goes together. Now, there's also this balance that we see in our next point is discipline. This is very hard because, again, it's different for every family. It's different for every situation. And I find it also different for how or when it should occur. But we see one thing that God talks about this. And before I get into it, I also wanted to share a story that someone has told me that really stuck with me. This man saw his son do something wrong, so he takes him in his room and starts spanking him. And as the father was spanking his son, he was crying. His son noticed looked up at his father crying and said, "Why are you crying?" The father said to his son, "This is hurting me more than it is hurting you." Of course, the son replies, "You're not the one getting the spankings." But why, as that parent crying and spanking their child, why is that parent crying? If it's hurting him, why is he doing the discipline? Why discipline at all if it's hurting you? What's the purpose? What's the reason? Well, after asking those questions, I looked at Hebrews 12, verses 7 through 11. "It is for discipline that you have endured. God is testing you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respect them. Shall we not much more all be subjects to the Father of spirit and life? For they discipline us for a short time as it seems best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, and we may share his holiness. For this, the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Now, there's a lot there. I hope you guys dig into that a little bit more. I learned a lot from that section alone. But I noticed that discipline is something we endure. If we are without discipline, then the child is not authorized by the law, not in accordance with accepting standards of rules. And then discipline is for our own good. I like how it's put in verse 11. It is painful rather than pleasant, but after, it yields peaceful fruit of righteousness. So discipline is needed. Answering the question, why should a parent even discipline? But what about it hurting the parent? And how can it hurt the parent? What was the purpose of that father crying? When I looked at Psalms 103, verse 13, "As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him." Proverbs 13:24, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." Proverbs 29:15, "The rod and reproof give in wisdom, but the child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Proverbs 29:17, "Discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give you delight in your heart." Proverbs 23:13, "Do not withhold discipline from your child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die." Proverbs 19:18, "Discipline your son, for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death." Proverbs 22:15, "Folly is bound up on the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives him far from it." There is a constant reminder that disciplining your child is okay. If you do not, then you are truly do not love your children. And I understand that's a hard pill to take in at times because, of course, every family is different. But it's lacking remorse. It's lacking love. It's lacking a whole bunch more. I can go on. But, again, we see here that we are to do this. We are told it's okay to do this. The one thing I want to point out is that we are to do it not lacking in love, not lacking in remorse. That's why the parent was crying. The parent was so much in love with this child that he was correcting him. He was guiding him. And even though it hurt him to hurt his own child, to do that guidance, that correcting, he knew it was for his own good. Again, it's different for every situation, every family. As long as hate, wanting to inflict pain, or wanting control, as long as all those things are not in heart and mind during the discipline, I believe it's in the rights with the Lord. So guiding a child is our next point. It's another hard thing to do, and I personally experienced guidance, not in my own children just yet, but guidance in a different way. As a youth minister, I have to guide young men and children, women, to the Lord. It's a lot on my plate, of course, but I'm only a stepping stone. The only way I can understand is my guidance is to help them grow spiritually, along with showing them how to have fun as a Christian, and not use those worldly things as their experiment to have fun. To guide them to be godly leaders in the church someday. That's my goal. That's what I'm that guidance for. And in John 16, verse 13, it says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own intentive, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come." Romans 2, verses 17 through 20. "But if you hear the name Jew and rely upon the law and boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are essential, being instructed out by the law and are confident that you yourself are guided to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth." Guidance is needed in the world. Those in the world are in darkness, and we are the light. And what better way to be that light than having a godly parent? To be able to raise their own kid godly in the Father's house. We see in Ephesians 6, verse 4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Proverbs 22, verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old. He will not depart from it." Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 21, "Fathers, do not provoke your child unless they become discouraged." Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9, "And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be the frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorsteps of your house, and even on the gates." Deuteronomy 11:19, "You shall teach them to your children, talking to them when you are sitting in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." 1 Peter 5, verse 3, "No domineering over these in your charge, but being examples of the flock." Now, of course, there's many more verses that explain this. But the parents are to be that model, again, to help guide their children to the Lord, and show them what it's like to be a Christian. So, what is their parents' responsibilities? Now, being a parent within itself comes a lot of responsibilities, as I'm finding out. And I know there's going to be more to come for me. It's a scary thing to know when a child's coming, and scary to know when twins are coming. But I have to do everything I can to provide. I have to do everything I can to guide, discipline, to have all these things that we've looked over so far. And I know I just have to be in it every day and every minute to learn. And I'm going to make mistakes. I know I'm going to need help, guidance, and discipline within myself to raise my own family. And I know this family here will help me, as they have been. Now, growing up, I didn't have the best examples. I had a mother that loved me and my brothers and my brother and sister. But when things got hard, she became more a part of the world. We started living in churches, and we started actually to wonder where we were sleeping and eating. To where I asked her, I need to move in with my aunts and uncles. So all three of us moved, jumped around between our aunts and uncles. And from them, I learned, all right, one of them, I learned that the responsibility of a parent has a lot on their plate. They have a job, they have to take care of three kids, they have to make sure things are getting paid on time. And then with my aunt, I learned that from her and her husband, she cleaned, she folded her clothes. She had three kids of her own already. It was a full house. But she took care of all of us. She spent day and night preparing for everything. She did a lot of work. But, of course, all of them were lacking one thing. They were lacking... They fell short of the Lord. And I didn't see, and I didn't have that godly example. And it's such a benefit. Amen. I see now what a godly family is, and I'm. It bugs me that there's children in the world that have to go through that. And I wish I could do everything I can to help. And that's why it drives me to be a youth minister, to help the kids that are, and others that are in that state. So I help them to come closer to the Lord. That's my guidance. And when I look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives and expects, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. When we look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, as it is talking about how deacons and elders should raise their household, this is something that we should all still strive for. It says, he must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. God wants the best for his children. And in Matthew 19:14, but Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belong to the kingdom of heaven. All belong to him. All they are all special, and we should treat them as they are. Again, I hope you were able to find something out of this sermon that I have, and to understand what it means to be a godly parent, and to know that it's a hard road, and an exciting road, and a special road to go down. Now, of course, this is going to be more than many sermons that I'll be doing over the children over the years. This is the first to start. I'm more than happy to start this family here with this congregation. But if there's anyone here that needs to come forth so they can become part of this family and become followers of God and wanted to raise their own children in this and in his church, I encourage you now to come as we stand and sing.